Do scents evoke memories and transport you back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I know they do for me. Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer or the beach in Aruba, bottled with all natural, uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow, like you just returned from a tropical getaway. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. I love Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I use it every single day and I have for so many years. It makes me feel silky smooth and just glowing. This body oil is rich but never greasy and clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It visibly firms your skin, leaving you more sculpted and toned. No wonder I feel so great after using it. But it gets even better. With Osea, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. They are a women-founded company that has been making seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. So bring on summer. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean vegan skin and body care at Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off.
Welcome to another episode of From the Heart.
I can't believe we did that in one take. Welcome to the podcast, Olivia.
Thank you. Welcome yourself to From the Fart.
Are you hosting today or am I hosting today?
Maybe we can switch around a little bit.
Oh my God, are we co-hosts?
We're co-hosting.
This is my dream. It's everybody's dream for us to have a podcast together.
Everybody's dream.
Can we start one? It is everybody's dream. Every time you come on the show, people ask, why don't you have a podcast together? Oh. With all the time on our hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't we do that?
Why don't we do that?
Mm-hmm. It's been a while since we had a From the Fart podcast. And as we were reading questions just now, someone wrote to Olivia, please don't laugh all the time.
I'm sorry. It started out really bad.
And I'm like, that's such a good sign that we have so much fun when we record these podcasts. Like, it's not like we have no filter. Mm-hmm. So apologies to that person because we're going to laugh a lot.
But that's why I'm wondering, actually, genuinely, why people would want to listen to us talking.
Because you say that every time.
But it's just a lot of laughing. And I don't know, for me, it feels like just a random conversation. So it's just weird.
It is a random conversation. But you're kind of, you are like the accidental influencer. You are. Do you feel? Can you please? Okay, wait. We're going to talk about how you feel from the heart and from the fart and everything. Mm. But can you tell the story about how you were discovered by your neighbor as an influencer?
No. What if they listen?
They don't listen. It's so funny.
No, I don't know what happened. We were randomly sitting outside one day. We are really close with our neighbors in Sweden, especially after COVID, because that's the only people we hung out with
for a whole year.
Yeah. So we were just hanging out. But I mean, we never spoke about social media or anything like that. So
you're incognito.
I was in your neighborhood. Yeah. Totally incognito. Yeah. And then a sister of my neighbor was there just visiting, and she starts talking about, you know, being an influencer and what's that like. And I thought maybe they knew that I was friends with a bunch of influencers. So, you know, I was just asked, like, trying to figure out how you guys would feel being influencers and answering that way. And then she's like, no, but I mean, like, you being an influencer. And it got so awkward.
The best thing in hearing this story is Patrick saying, your face got so red. You're, like, discovered as an influencer by the neighborhood. The secret's out, Olivia.
And also, I really wanted to keep it a secret because I was planning for the home birth. And I thought, maybe it's better, you know, I'm speaking about it pretty openly on my social media. And then I thought, it's better if the neighbors don't know that I'm actually planning this home birth. because it will be awkward the night that I'm like, okay, bye, I'm going to go give birth and just don't listen to what's going on in the house. But then the post in Bloggbevakning, a Swedish blog, was out.
Isn't it the biggest blog in Sweden? It's a blog about blogs.
Is that biggest? Probably. I think so.
It's a blog that talks about all the bloggers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my neighbor came to me and was like, yeah, I think I read about you in Bloggbevakning. Are you going to have a home birth?
Are you going to give birth door to door, like right next door to me? Yeah. Can you keep it down, please? But let's talk about that, because this is so, I mean, we got a lot of questions about that too. You gave birth 7 months ago.
Yes.
At home in your bathtub.
Yes.
Yes. And how did this decision come about? And what's the general feeling in Sweden around home birth? Because it's different in every place, I feel. Yeah.
Well, it's very different or from person to person, I feel. But that's actually good that we talk about it. We haven't spoken too much about it because the initial idea came from you, from when you were expecting Loonies.
I influenced you?
Yeah, totally influenced me. But I felt at the time that I wasn't fully ready with Hunter. I really feel like if you want to go for a home birth, you need to feel 100% safe in that space and with your decision and all that. And I don't have anything against hospitals, so it's nothing.
You had a good birth in the hospital with Hunter for the first
one. Yeah. So with Hunter, I chose to do it at a hospital. But then the idea was always very appealing to me to be able to do it at home where you feel at home, where it's cozy. You don't have to go anywhere during the whole labor, which is a big part of why I chose to do it at home.
No travel, like no getting in a car.
You're just there listening to your own body, what's going on, and you're just going with the flow. So I started investigating a little bit. Also another Swedish influencer, Asabia, who...
Another, as in another in addition to you?
To you.
To you.
To you! I know. She influenced me too.
Asabia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. And I was talking to her a little bit and she kind of pep-talked me also. And I have an amazing husband who was really, really into it as well. So we contacted this midwife. We had a call with her, a video call, just to like not book her right away, but that was a call for us to get to know her and her to get to know us and see if she wanted to do it with us. And that call was just amazing and we felt so, so happy afterwards. So we just decided let's do it.
And there's not so many options. Like in Sweden overall is not a home birthy country.
No, not at all. Especially not before
pandemic.
Yeah. Pandemic, yeah. So every midwife that I was talking to, they were kind of negative to it. Mm. And I felt that vibe every time I brought it up. So for me, I didn't even want to talk about it with midwives, but like regular midwives, because I knew that they were going to put me off a little bit. But I did. And
what would they say? Like it's not safe or it's not supported?
Well, no, not like straight out like that, because I don't think they're supposed to do that. But it's more like, okay, you're
one of those thinking
about doing that. Well, then you're on your own, basically. Like you have to figure it out yourself.
That's nice.
I had a midwife actually who said, who told me straight out, I do not recommend this at all. And is it okay if I follow up on your case and see if you chose to do it or not?
What did you say?
I said, yeah, feel free to do it. I mean,
follow me on Instagram.
I'm sorry, I'm totally this stuck here now. This
I already see the title of the podcast.
Olivia, the accidental influencer. Oh
no, but it's so funny because then they wrote about you in this big blog, right? Mm. So then, and I was reading, I hope you weren't reading those comments when you were pregnant, but I was reading those comments and it's like hundreds and hundreds of comments from people saying crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Like...
No, yeah, I mean, it's very provoking to many people,
right.
And I understand that, it's fine. I really had to, I started reading, I just stopped pretty fast because it just doesn't help. Good vibe, no.
Yeah.
But I understand that it's provoking, I understand that some people have a completely different view on it, and that like if there is a risk that something's going to happen, why take it? I get it. I had, made a... good assessment of the risks I had. So, and I felt pretty safe if something happened, I was close to a hospital and that we could
discover
this on time.
Right. But it's a different thing, I think. And I feel like a lot of people, I don't think it's right discouraging people from wanting to explore a home birth.
No.
You know, and that was kind of the intention I had too, was like, I was way more rigid than you. I was like, I really don't like the hospital. Mm. Actually, I really don't trust the doctors. I don't want some man there telling me, you know, how to feel and what to do or push drugs on me. I was really adamant to not go. But I still had this open-mindedness of like, of course, if something goes wrong, if something doesn't feel right, like we'll go in and we're 5 minutes away. So it's a different thing versus like being on a mountaintop somewhere going, I don't want medical attention no matter what, and I'm going to make sure I can't receive it. You know, there's like a radical, which shouldn't be radical. Like every woman should get to decide for themselves.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point of doing it the way you want to.
Right.
Because you're supposed to be the your own body's sovereign, kind of.
So how did it go? Tell the story.
I mean, it went so well. It was amazing. It was really, I mean, from the moment we took the decision to do a home birth till, you know, Hedda finally came, everything just felt super right. And the whole birth was really amazing. Mm. It was calm. It just felt like the most natural thing ever.
And you had the midwife came after how many hours?
So I started feeling that it was probably, it started for real when I went to bed around 10. And then I couldn't really sleep, you know, how you're excited. And then the pain starts gradually getting worse. But so I made myself some noodles there at 1:30 in the middle of the night.
Texting you.
And then around 3, it started being very intense. And 4... I wrote to my midwife before going to bed so that she would see this message before she would go to bed, so that she knows that something is happening. So she was on high alert, but yeah, sleeping. And then at 5, I told her, yeah, I would feel good now if you came. So she was there at 6, I think. Yeah.
But she wasn't so active.
Not at all. So, yeah. I mean, I didn't really know what was going to happen, but I mean, I knew the basics, but I didn't know that she was going to be so hands off, which was totally amazing.
Amazing.
And she, you know, she made sure with her presence that I felt safe, that I felt seen also, that, you know, like if there was something wrong, she would have seen it and it would have been okay. She came and she asked me, do you want me to make, what do they call that when they just make the first analysis kind of like
sweep?
The listen to the heartbeat, the all these things. See if you're open, how many centimeters you're open. So she asked me if I wanted her to do that. And I was like, yeah, aren't you supposed to? Kind of like, but
did she ask permission? It wasn't like,
it was like, if you don't want me to do it, I won't do it. And then that set the tone for the rest of the labor, because I was fully in charge.
Amazing.
Yeah. And
that must be, I mean, I would imagine that's a big obstacle or a big reason to why women end up feeling powerless. It's like from the beginning, we're told you're not in charge.
Yes.
You know, already from the first moment you like find out you're pregnant, you have to be in, instead of going to find support when we need it. And because we need it, it's almost like you're at the mercy of the system now. Mm. And you have to just listen to what other people tell you. Mm. And there's something that makes us feel also like giving birth is impossible, or, you know, it's this horrible thing that traumatic thing I have to get through, versus I love that midwifery of like, you're empowered to do this. And if you need help, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
How cool.
It's super cool. And that's part of the reason I really wanted to do it at home, so that I would feel, I would have the space to feel whatever I needed in the moment and not rely only on someone else around me.
Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off.
So yeah, then on, you know, she just gave me some breathing tips. Already on the phone when we spoke, when she was on her way, she was like, oh, I can hear that you're a little bit like breathing too fast. Like, are you cold? And I was actually cold. And that's because I was breathing a little bit too fast and not getting enough oxygen throughout my body. So she said, just breathe as quietly as possible and as slow as possible. And I started doing that. And I seriously started falling asleep during my contractions, which I thought was just like a dream scenario that only these...
That doesn't happen.
No. And I did that. And it was just really amazing. And when she was about to come out, then I started making a lot of noise, though. I don't know.
You went to the bathtub?
I was in the bathtub from like 4. And then Hunter woke up at 7. Then I got up. And the contractions were really intense. But as soon as he stepped into the room, they kind of just...
So amazing. I mean, how crazy is that?
So I sat with him for a while and he was like helping me to push, he said. And he was so cute. He thought he wasn't weird at all. Like I was sitting there and just waiting for Hedda to pop out. But yeah, and then he was out the door. My father came to pick him up. And he was out the door at 8, I think. And then Hedda came at 9:30.
So at the moment he left the house, it was like, here we go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely, here we go.
How cool. I mean, that's like, this just this primal reaction of the body. It's like, wait, I got to tend to someone now.
I heard him literally go out the door. And the midwife told me afterwards that right after that, she could see how my contractions just like...
took off.
Yeah.
And then you pushed...
And then I pushed, and then with Hunter, my water never broke. And at the hospital, I was feeling like, okay, I'm going to like explode now. And then they were like, yeah, so your water didn't break already. Do you want us to break your water for you? And I was like, oh my God, yes, of course. Like it didn't break already. I kind of forgot about it. That's why I'm about to explode. Yeah, you have to break it. And then when they did that, it went pretty fast after that. But for Hedda's birth, I realized you don't have to break the water at all. And it works amazing, even if they come out, or even better when they come out in the sac, because they're protected and the transition is so much smoother for them. And that's what she did. She came out with her head in her sac. But I don't know, when I saw her head, I just got... sidetracked. I don't know. I just started like laughing and was like, oh my God, her head is here
in my bathtub.
Yeah. And then I got distracted. So my midwife was just sitting there filming. And after a while, she's like, okay, maybe I need to check here what's going on, because she can't be stuck there forever.
Right.
So she just like took a hand and felt so that the shoulder wasn't stuck, which it wasn't. And then she just took up the camera again and started filming. And then I pushed her out.
And then she came. How many minutes from pushing her out in the bathtub until you stood on the lawn waving at the neighbors?
wasn't many minutes. It was just maybe a few hours. I know I just like soaked in the time. We stayed in the bathroom. We made a little bed there on the floor. We lied there and then we got up and we were on our porch. Just like,
hello world, yeah. Here we are. Yeah. It's so amazing. And I love both of your birth stories. Like the first one is also so empowered and positive and like a good, really beautiful example of a beautiful, empowered birth you can have at the hospital.
Yes.
And this birth is so normal and unfussy. It's almost like mundane how you gave birth at home in the tub. Not with like a whole bells and whistles and like, look at me and my home birth and this whole, because I feel like a lot of people in the spiritual community are like that. Like, this is the only way. And it has to, you know, it makes people who don't birth that way maybe feel lesser than. But with you, it's just like, this is what I wanted and this is what I did.
Yeah.
So amazing.
It just felt like that. It felt so natural. I can't describe it with a better word than just natural, actually. Mm. It's just.
And I mean, this is what it was back in the day. It's like,
kids
would be present at the birth. Like when you're pregnant, you would just, go around the corridor and birth your kid. And then there you are at the dining table. Like that's normal, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's been, you know, with the hospital, it's been removed. It's like you leave to give birth and you're gone for days and then you return and here's the baby. Mm-hmm. And I love that, just that it's regular life. Like it's just something you do.
Yeah.
So cool.
But it's changing now. I mean, the whole vibe around home birth in Sweden especially is changing. Mm. A lot of good initiatives that just try to empower women to make informed decisions about it.
That they can choose.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dennis and I were, I told Olivia very casually like 5 days ago, I really want a baby now. And then something happened with the kids or something. I can remember we like lost track of our conversation. Uh-huh. And then 3 days later, you were like, wait a minute. You casually just said you want to have a baby 3 days ago? Like, can we talk about that? And I still have the feeling.
You still have the feeling. Ooh.
Maybe Hedda has influenced me. We're all just influencing each other. I don't know what it is. I just suddenly have this feeling like I can't stop thinking about like a little baby. Like or like when Leia was a little, like I don't know if she's turning 4, she really hit this transition of going from like she's not a kid. I mean, she's a kid, but she's like so grown.
They're so big now.
They're so big now.
Yeah.
They have such like adult conversations about the world and each other and feelings and stuff. And it's like, wow, it's a really far ways away from a baby.
So now you just put it out there in the world too.
I put it in the world too. Yeah. But hey, everybody listening to this show knows that next week I probably changed my mind. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But can you tell everyone listening, like, do you live in Aruba now? Like, what's going on? Are you here for the pandemic? Are you here because I nagged you to stay?
It's a big myth. Yeah. I understand it looks weird and very sudden. Everybody's like, how did you just suddenly move to Aruba?
How do you have a house in Aruba all of a sudden?
We decided to go. So both Patrick and I are on parental leave, actually. I am working part-time, but Patrick is on parental leave, and we felt that if there's any time in our lives that we are able to spend like more than just a few weeks in Aruba on a vacation, it's now. Despite traveling during COVID and all that, we decided let's go, and we stay there for a longer time.
I feel like that's, I don't know if it justifies it, but it's like traveling as a tourist, staying in hotels, being out and about, going for 2 weeks to have a vacation is different than choosing to relocate for several months somewhere, you know?
Well,
I mean, I would like to believe that.
I'd like to believe that. Yeah, also. No, I mean, of course, there's always a risk. We chose to take it. And that's, everyone can have their opinion about it, of course. Okay. But we did that, and we ended up staying much longer than we thought, too, because I'm able to work from a distance. It works good, for now at least. And we've rented out our house in Sweden. We're in no hurry. And, we have the possibility. We have family here. My family came also and stayed a few months.
It's amazing.
So we actually had the most special time, I think, in our lives. This was really rare to have both our families here in Aruba when our kids are so
with
small.
With no stress.
With no stress.
Yeah.
So, yeah, took that chance.
Yeah.
And now we are just renting a house and building, I mean, not building, but putting furniture, making it into home so that we can have a home here when we're here.
Yay. That's so, I mean, to me, this is like the best thing ever. I've been so sick. So I had this feeling of like, I was wasting the last month you guys were going to be here because I was just home and miserable and
you
sad.
Were so miserable. So,
how miserable was I? It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. I wallow also. I mean, this is like the first podcast in a month that isn't like, hi, welcome to From the Heart and everything is terrible. So that's a good change.
Yeah.
But no, and I really remember like, oh, like I missed all this time and now they're just going to go back and they're going to go to Sweden. And then Patrick texts us in the group chat. So maybe we stay. And I'm like, that's not funny. Why are you trying to be funny? Why are you trying to like rub salt in the wounds? You know, I was like on the couch. And then you did stay.
We
it's
did.
It's the best.
Yeah.
The best. It's the best. So maybe we go to Sweden together. I want to do what you did. So people might be upset by that too. I don't know. Or if it's more okay because I'm Swedish. But we have planned to spend... We wanted to spend half a year. Actually, that was the plan to like do a pandemic relocation for 6 months in Sweden and be in the forest and like, you know, see family and stuff like that. And then that didn't happen. But we're hoping we can go like knock on all the wood if things don't get worse, that we can go and spend at least the summer.
Yes.
And see and let's hug hope. Some trees and swim in some cold waters. And that's the
I
dream.
Understand that
it's
you dream. Miss that being here, actually. The
it's
forest.
Been so long. Yeah. The forest, like that feeling of just,
it's
so special.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, we got so many questions. I don't even know how we're going to get through
dwelling
these.
Dwelling on our,
like, such a boring birth story at home. I think it's so fun because a lot of people, this was, like, overwhelmingly the most asked question we both got on social media before this talk, which I think is a, it shows that people's minds are really here. A lot of people were asking, do you have any tips for how to make new friends as an adult? Which I think is a really interesting topic. And a lot of people were asking, how do you maintain friendship from afar?
Yeah.
And I feel with the pandemic, everyone's friendships, like so many people have friendships that are only afar now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that. I feel like some questions we get that people think we're experts on, but it just happens for us. And we don't put in like effort for stuff.
I know.
And this is, to me, one of those things where, like, I don't really know how to answer that because I don't have a recipe.
No. The first thing that comes to my mind is to not put so much pressure on it, on the friendship, you know, that you have to talk every day for it to be normal or, I mean, it's difficult. It is trickier to keep in touch all the time when you're from afar. And from a distance during this pandemic, even if you're in neighbor and you can't see each other. I mean, there's just, don't try to force it so much. That's what I would say.
Maybe some friendships that feel forced for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, that could also sometimes be the case. But maybe people just have a hard time. I don't know if it's like, because I have certain friendships that I feel require effort. And certain friendships that are like, I don't care if you and I don't talk for 2 months. That rarely happens, but it could happen. And then 2 months later, it would be no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Not all friendships are like that.
No, that's true.
So I wonder if there's like a secret sauce, like a little, or if it's more about finding people who are growing with you. I think sometimes in relationships, you just start growing in different ways, right? Or one person grows and the other person doesn't grow. And then it starts feeling out of alignment. And then it's like, you have to force it. You have to like...
Yeah,
oh, I gotta call them again, and I gotta. Oh, we gotta make time again, and some people you grow with, and then it's easy.
Yeah, and some people, like, you need a break from, not that you need it, but maybe that even if you have a break and you have different things going on in your lives, and then you meet all of a sudden, like, a few months later or maybe a year or two later, and then it's the best. So, yeah, I think it's maybe from person to person and what type of person you are. Some people, I mean, I hate speaking on the phone. That's a really bad thing if you want to keep in touch from afar. I don't like
talking. But you and I rarely pick up the phone and call each other, just like that.
We text a lot, and that's why it's good, because you also like voice message. But I have other friends that would rather talk on the phone, and they hate texting. And it's, with them, it's much harder because you don't have time with kids and different time zones.
When we FaceTime, we FaceTime because of the kids.
Yeah.
We don't FaceTime for each other.
No, never. We're like, oh, wait, Hunties is here. Okay, Leia's here. And then they're like, wow, wow. And then that's it.
Yeah. But I think also it's like maintaining that contact makes it, you know, if I have a need or I'm going through something, I can call you anytime. If you have a need, you're going through something, you can call anytime. It's like, we don't need permission to reach out or, you know.
Some
friendships feel like that. Like, oh, I didn't call in a while, so I can call now. And then we stop reaching out, and then it becomes like a vicious cycle. And you separate more and more.
That's true. I also think that when when there's silence, you can start imagining things are happening that are not happening. You know, so that's maybe important to talk about with friends if you try to maintain your friendships from afar, that silence doesn't have to mean anything bad.
Right. But I think oftentimes if we have that feeling, it is because there is something maybe unspoken.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can, I don't know, maybe.
Because I would never, like, if you don't talk to me in a while, I wouldn't get into my head and be like, I wonder if Olivia's mad at me.
That never occurs to me. No. Well, the other week, for example, when you were like, hey, just so you know, like, I haven't been to the new house because I've been sick, you know, but I really want to come
there.
Are you
Dennis
angry with me?
Told me. Dennis came home from hanging out at Patrick and Olivia's house. He was like, just so you know, the Beaks told me they're very upset with you. You haven't been to see their house. That motherfucker. And I was like, that doesn't sound like them. No, but I think it's sensitive because it's like a really big step in their lives. And you still haven't made the effort to come. And I'm like on my deathbed. So I'm like, Olivia, are you upset with me? I didn't come to that. You're like, what?
Thought didn't even cross my mind.
Dude, my husband, he pretends he's all drama free. Sometimes he just stirs the pot
for no reason. Like, Dennis, he learns.
No, but I would never, it never happens in my life that I go thinking, like, I wonder if we have something unspoken, because we don't have unspoken things. But then I have other friends where, like, silence, and I start thinking, oh, did I do something? And I think that thought or that feeling comes maybe because there is deep down, you know. It doesn't mean it's bad, but maybe there's something you could air out.
But then the important thing is that you air it out then.
Right.
Like, ask instead of wandering around. And
then oftentimes the other person, but I had that feeling with you.
Yeah.
You didn't answer that text. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, we're just missing each other.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean it's the end of the relationship. It's just we're missing. Like, we can be out of sync with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But something that, like, I have a good friend of mine, my friend Michaela, who's been a good friend of mine for years. And the pandemic brought us so much closer together. So I think there's examples of that too. I don't know if it's because I had more time and more space, but we started working out together on FaceTime, which is something I would never in a million years do if it wasn't quarantine time.
We
would do the class or a yoga class or whatever and do it on FaceTime, sweating next to each other. So we're not talking, but it was like the feeling of closeness and connection without.
Yeah.
So sometimes getting creative, I think with the pandemic, we have to get creative and, you know, try new things. Well, what about for the people who wrote, like, I want to make friends or make a new friend or make a friend that aligns more with who I am now?
Yeah.
How do we do that?
I don't know. I mean, neighbors.
You're like, here are my one new friend in the past year.
No, but I know. I mean,
you're good at that. You're good at making new connections.
Am I?
Yeah.
Really?
But maybe you're more good at, like, networking and mingling and, like, popping around.
Popping around. Popping around. I don't know what that means.
Glamour princess.
Glamour princess.
Popping around. Popping around.
No.
You're a good networker. That you are. For sure.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you. You know someone for everything.
I do. Oh my God, this is a...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I just lost that a little bit now with like kids being my focus and I don't know. I guess I'm pretty social.
In high school, I feel like there's like 8 people who are like, Olivia's my best friend.
No. In high school, yeah. Not anymore.
No, but I mean, like, yeah. You still have that. Like, a lot of people look at you as like their closest person, you know, because you are good at making deep connections with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's a very nice
At
compliment.
Least that's how I see
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're also very good at it. You just think you're not.
I don't think I am at all. Dude, I have like 2 friends.
Me and Dennis.
You and Lea Luna. Dennis is like on my shit list after he lied about your house. No, I mean, I have like a handful of friends, but they don't change. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, true friends, core friends, they don't change. And then I have acquaintances and people I get to know, but they don't become deep friends. It's like I have the ones I've had forever and that's it.
Mm. Yeah. But what I like about you though,
you like something about
me? One of the things I like about you,
in spite of everything.
But you've really made an effort with like getting friends and connections and like deepening the relationships that you have. Like it, I really feel that you put some energy into them
in the last year.
Yeah,
yeah, I have.
Yeah,
I have.
That's awesome.
Thank you for seeing that. But you've mentioned that to me before.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I think I had a moment early pandemic where I just realized my priorities had been out of whack, like for a long time, or where I felt I had been so consumed with work and somehow I created that and I made it the excuse as to why I couldn't be present in like things that were really important to me, you know, like, and Olivia knows this well, like every time I would go to Sweden, my schedule would be so packed and so full of work and interviews and photo shoots and stupid things that I would bundle my friends together to check people off a list. So it'd be like, you would go to dinner and there's like 10 people there from 10 walks of my life. And I'm like, I don't have time to see you, but I'm going to dinner with this person at 7. So if you want to join. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly we're sitting there having a great time because everyone's awesome. Mm. But it's like, I never made time for the deep one-on-one vulnerable because I didn't have time. Yeah. Like I made my life that way. And I, for a long time, I felt like I was a victim of this life. Like, oh my God, I have no control. I'm so busy. But I made that. And I didn't know that before the pandemic. Like, oh, I can change that. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have to be that way, you know.
But that's the cool part, that you actually changed it.
Right, right, right. And it didn't take a lot of, it's not like something that took a lot of work. It was just a redistribution. A just a shift of presence, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So sorry, everyone who wanted like the recipe for why we're still friends.
Why we're still friends. There is no reason.
It's just work. We're the coolest. That's why.
This is the dorkiest conversation.
We're so cool.
Oh my God. No, but a lot of people though asked, also connected to the friendship part, if we ever fight.
Oh yeah.
And like how, you know, like connected to that is also a lot of questions were around jealousy with your closest friends. How do you manage that? And do you argue when you have different opinions, whatever? All these things. There's a lot of questions around that.
Yeah, but maybe people are in general struggling with friendships and
I think friendships are not super easy. And of course, the closest people are the ones you're gonna
fight with the most. Yeah, you and I, we fight so much. But this is a good question. When was the last time, have we ever fought? Someone asked, when was your last big fight?
Like fight? Like fight? No, I don't think so. We've had arguments where we are not from the same space, and then, but I feel like we're pretty mature in that sense, that we're so mature. Talk about it then. And
it doesn't get to a fight.
No, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, we had moments at the end of, like, we worked together for a while with the nonprofit. At the end of that, where there was just a lot of tension around me leaving, and the tension created. Not fights, but just some uncomfortable conversations that we had to have.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I feel like it is a sign of our maturity that we made it through that without a dent, you know? That it wasn't something that affected our relationship or impacted us in a negative way. It's like we were able to start working together, work together, and then stop working together. And it's good.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
We don't ever like pat ourselves on the back for that. Yeah. Do you hear that? This is a bad pat. that is good. Like sometimes, you know, we tend, this is a good question. Okay. This reminds me of a good question I got. I wrote it down. We tend to focus a lot on the things that don't work. Mm-hmm. Right. So the things that are hard or the people in our lives that bring a lot of drama, they take up a lot of space, right? Mental space. And we think about them a lot. Someone asked me if Olivia is really your best friend, how come you don't talk about her so much in your book? And I was like, wow. Oh, no one asked me that before. And I really thought about that. And I was like, well, that's true. Like, you don't have your own chapter and you don't have like a huge presence.
Where's my chapter?
Where's your chapter? And I sat with that for a while and it really resonated with me that it's because you are a steady, simple, uncomplicated, secure place in my life. So I don't have any drama to talk about. And that book was all about drama and loss and grief. And every chapter was about some sort of hardship. And I don't have that with you. And then I'm like, but that's sad that because you're like in my life, you're like the best, you know, you're like the best person, you know, who's like, does so many good things, has such an amazing presence and gives me so much. But then I tend to focus on the things that don't work. You know, I'm like, I should have given a chapter, like, side note, here's the person who works in my life. Like, this functions well.
Side note.
But it's not that sometimes the things that are easy, it's like they don't become as interesting or as like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel the same way sometimes? Or is that a Rachel trait?
I think it's a Rachel trait.
To like, see the hard.
Yeah. I think so. Or at least like, yeah. But maybe that's why we work so well, because I'm the opposite.
Right. You're like, look at the good stuff. Yeah. There's nothing bad in the world.
A bit too much to the other side. I mean, yeah.
Maybe that's why we don't fight.
Maybe that's why we don't fight. Yeah. I don't know. I am very good at focusing on the positive. Sometimes I need to allow myself to be sad for something before I, you know, just like I don't really see things in a negative way, and then all of a sudden I feel sad or something is wrong or off, and then it takes a long time for me to actually dig into that and see what that is. Because I've been so focused on what's actually working and I shouldn't be complaining or I shouldn't be, you know, unhappy.
I'm so grateful and I have so many blessings.
Exactly, all of that. I have so many
like
good friends.
Like, who am I to feel sad when everything is so okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be dangerous also. That's, I mean, it's a beautiful trait to have.
Yeah.
But we were talking about that around your, like, in your astrological chart.
Yeah.
You have some aspects around Mercury and around the moon and, like, a tendency to rationalize your feelings sometimes.
Definitely.
To, like, gloss them over.
Yeah.
And how is that? Do you feel like, I mean, it looks like from the outside as like you are in a more feeling place now than compared to like a couple of years ago. Has having kids made you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Having kids is doing something with your emotional life. I mean, probably it's also physical because there's so many hormones, but I think those hormones help you tap into certain energies and certain things. Mm. So definitely getting a family and building a family and having Hunter and Hedda has done something to me in that regard. I do, yeah. I asked my sister a while back, like, do you think I live in a bubble or is my life actually pretty good?
What did she say?
But she's like,
well, like, am I making this up in my head? Is it this great? Is it like this? Okay.
Like, is it, or am I just like not in tune at all with my feelings? And like, do I have a lot of work? Sometimes I get super insecure. Am I missing out on work I'm supposed to do on myself? Or
like, is life allowed to be this good?
Yes.
Like, can I give myself permission to enjoy and appreciate my life?
That's a hard thing.
And we talk a lot on this podcast, we talk so much about allowing ourselves to have hard emotions, allowing ourselves to sit with sadness and grief and anger and all this stuff. But it's an equally big thing to be like, when there is suffering in the world, especially if you're an empath like you or someone who really feels deeply about the state of the world in general, when I have friends who suffer, when there's a pandemic, like, can I have permission to enjoy my life, to feel happy, even though there is still sadness around? That's huge.
It is.
Yes.
It's not super easy.
I don't know. You're like squirming in your seat.
Yeah.
I
want to talk about that. Yeah. No, yeah. It's a bad conscience is something I'm struggling with, and it's so unnecessary, I guess. It's unnecessary to have bad conscience if you're not like doing something good out of it. I mean, there are things I could do. If I'm really feel bad about having such a good life, I should put more energy into making it better for others, or, you know.
But you do already.
I do. I try. But it's...
No, but that discomfort is like a good place to marinate. Mm. We had such a beautiful moment. Your mom turned 70 when she was here.
Yeah.
And rented a house on the ocean, and we had like a really beautiful dinner. Your whole family and Dennis and Patrick's family and Dennis and I.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into this really beautiful conversation about our childhood, like about our teenage year. It almost became like a confessional for your parents, where we start talking about all the silly, crazy, wild things that we did. And your parents are sharing stories about like things they knew were going on. It was just so, so, so fun. But I was sharing the story about like that I think about often, that how you and me and Daniela, like our little trio of best friends when we were teens, were talking about stuff, and I had a lot of trauma and she had a lot of trauma, and you had a moment where you were really vulnerable and sad because you felt like I haven't had enough trauma. Almost like even then, like we were like 15, almost like do I have permission to feel good, you know? Mm. Like, I don't have all this stuff. Like, so many people have all this stuff. And that on its own is a challenge. You know, it's like a big thing to work with. Like, permission to enjoy my life, you know? And for so many people, it's like permission to be sad, permission to go through the hard stuff. And for you, it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a blessing and a curse somehow in like a...
It's weird. Yeah. It is. But I'm working on it. So I'm not in the bubble.
You're not in the bubble. Life is wonderful and perfect.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So, okay, speaking of childhood, a lot of people wanted to know, what is the wildest or craziest or like craziest story from our teenage years? Like, what is something really bizarrely wild we did when we were little? And I kind of love that question because we were talking about so many with your parents present, which I like. I love. Your parents were like everybody's parents when we went to high school. They're still the coolest. Like, you have cool parents.
I really have cool parents. Yeah, I told them now that like growing up, I really genuinely felt that my strongest side, like my best feature, is my family, my parents, that they're cool. Because if I had a friend, I always felt like, yeah, if you like me, you should meet my family, and then you're stuck.
And it's true.
And it's true. Yeah.
It is true. So, and your mom was saying, like, all your old friends from way back in the day, they still reach out to her and tell her happy birthday. Yeah. Like, everyone still knows your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and even when you moved out of the house, they were saying when all you and your sisters moved out, that friends of yours would still come by.
Yeah,
that's just hang out. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's very nice.
But we did do a lot of wild things.
Yeah, but like the wildest, what would that be? Those things we can't even talk about anymore.
Talk about them anymore. I remember stealing your moped. You had a Chow. Which is like what do you call it, a moped in like American English?
It's like a scooter, but it looks like a
almost like a bike.
Yeah.
And you kick it. You kickstart it. Like, you have to kick it with your foot. What do you call that? I don't even know. It was like, I remember being a teenager, there was different levels of scooters we were allowed. And that kind, you were allowed. You can only
that one was an EU moppe.
It was an EU moppe.
But it just looked like a humble little thing.
It was like an incognito thing. Yeah. Oh my God. No, but to me, that's one of the, at least when I think about like wild things that I did. We had there was a party on the beach in Stiklinge, where I lived. And like the whole school was there. Everyone, I don't even know what kind of party. Why would they allow those parties? Like everyone knew, the whole school knew. Everybody went to the beach and got fucked up.
Yeah.
That was just okay.
Yeah. Well, we had different meeting places like that. We
had a lot of them. I wonder what my mom was thinking at the time. I really think she didn't know. Like at that time, I don't think she knew what I was up to. And then I remember like we were at, I don't know if you were at there the whole time. I was at Sarah's house and I drank an entire bag and box wine. You know, those like boxed. There's boxed wine now that's like a liter, but these boxed wines were like 3 liters of wine. It's like 3 or 4 bottles of wine in one box. Mm-hmm. I drank an entire one of those. I was probably like 90 pounds. Like I was like super skinny little 15-year-old. And then I saw you on the beach and we had just kind of gotten to know each other. Like we didn't know. It was like right when school started. I was just meeting everybody. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you and I were in Spanish class together. Mm-hmm. And I thought you were so cool and you had this cool scooter.
You're like, cool. Me?
Cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really need to go get some cigarettes. Like, I really need a scooter. Can someone, like, borrow me? And you're like, yeah, here you go. Take my keys. And I took Olivia's little scooter and drove all across the island, like, where we lived.
Yeah.
Went to the gas station, used my fake ID that said I was, like, 7 years older than I was. And bought cigarettes, put my earphones in, like, I was listening to my iPod. This is, like, so many dangerous things at the same time. Drunk out of my mind, like so drunk. And apparently the cops said later that they had followed me a long time because I was like going across the lanes on the road. It was so visible that I was really drunk. And they had the lights on and they had the sound on the police car. But because I was listening, blasting hip hop on my headphones, I didn't see them. Like I didn't notice.
Oh my God. I almost feel bad still for lending you that moped.
You're still squirming. Like, oh God. And no, finally I stopped and I was like, oh shit. And it was a big van. And I remember I had to blow in the thing like for my alcohol level. And I made a huge theatrical dramatic like show of having asthma. So actually, I can't blow in this thing.
Oh my God.
Now,
the most
like,
annoying teen
the most
ever.
Annoying thing ever. And I remember like the fifth time I'm like pretending I'm full force blowing into this thing.
Went to buy cigarettes, but you have asthma and you can't blow into the thing.
That's so fucking stupid. And this cop was like, okay, this is your last chance. If you can't do it here, you gotta do it by blood, which means we gotta go to the hospital and you will be there all night. Hospital and then the station. So you can choose. This is your last chance. And I'm like, oh fuck. Okay. And I blow in the thing. And I had like they said for an adult man, I would be fucked up. 1.7 like promille, whatever that, like really, really, really high. And then it was a whole ordeal. I had to go to the police station. I had to spend the night in the cell. I had to like, it was deeply, deeply, deeply awful. And the worst part about it is I wasn't allowed to get my driver's license. They like pushed my, like for a car. And it was the biggest secret we had in the family. Like my dad was not allowed to find out that I had a DUI at 15. Oh, yeah. And I wasn't allowed to get my driver's license. So it was, so everyone covered, like my whole family and all my friends covered for me for like 4 years.
Really?
He found out on my studentskiva, like on my graduation party.
Wow.
When my mom read the list of things I put her through.
that's one of the things that we found out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a lot of...
I feel like that's not even, like, close to the wildest thing.
No, it was pretty calm in how it, like, ended.
Yeah.
But we've had a lot of trips and a lot of...
We've done a lot of trips. Like, we've done a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You sold necklaces on the beach in Colombia for a while.
It's helping out a friend.
Helping out a friend. You were.
Yeah.
Oh,
good
times.
And our stores in Latvia and all these things. Yeah.
Yeah. We've danced on a lot of bars. In our lives.
A lot of bars.
Yeah. Do you regret anything?
No. Well, lending you that moped.
That's your one regret.
Yes.
You will be on your deathbed. Oh, shouldn't have lent Rachel that moped. Yeah, but really, like, and it's wild, out of all the really wild, and we drank so much, like our whole teenage years, we drank so much and smoked so many cigarettes and did so many bad things and trusted everyone and went home with strange guys and groups and parties and places we like didn't know. Like, we did reckless stuff that very we never things. Wanted.
Yeah.
Or we would never want our kids to do or know.
Hopefully.
Or no. When they're 32, yeah. We can talk about it.
Maybe.
But so we don't actually, I don't have anything to regret because nothing bad ever happened, you know?
Yeah, knock on wood. My God, we've been kind of
lucky.
Very lucky, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, lucky. And I think maybe that goes for both of us that we actually have some common sense in the background somewhere. I mean, I think even if I got drunk and so, I never lost control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're similar like
and,
that.
Yeah, because losing control is like the worst thing that can happen to me. So
you and I were always like the ones who would take care of the person who was throwing up somewhere or passed out somewhere. Like, we would be the one who like would get that person home. We were never the ones passed out.
I had one, and that was like my first real.
When? Which one was drunk?
But that was... really, really early on when I just switched schools to the Swedish school and we were at one of my friend's parents' places and we discovered their liquor shelf and just started taking a little bit of sip of all the bottles together with concentrated juice because we thought maybe that it would go out faster into the blood. Horrible thing. I ended up on the bathroom floor throwing up and calling my dad.
Oh, he came.
Yeah, he came. So yeah, I never did that again. That was the only time.
Right. You never want to end up in that place. Mm-mm. Yeah, so maybe it isn't luck. Maybe it is like a bit of common sense. Because we definitely had those friends who always
ended up really bad
like in a bad place. Way somehow, yeah. And who always needed help. We're always I mean, you and I were not those people. Again, we were always so mature.
Everyone mature listening to this mature. Is like, what even? Hey, I gotta go back to my
shit. Okay, let's do a lightning round of questions. What's the secret to the time capsule you've both created? Because neither of you have aged.
Oh wow. I wasn't expecting that question at all. I feel like I've aged so much.
Me too. I think about it all the time. You look so old.
I was not expecting that.
No, I'm kidding. I think about that about myself all the time. Like, do you ever think about like, should you start coloring your hair or should you start getting Botox or doing stuff that like a lot of our friends are doing? Does the thought hit you?
I actually don't.
Okay,
I don't think about it. But I don't know what. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have time to think about it right now.
Who has time for wrinkles?
A friend of Patrick's family told me like, hey, I was talking to a friend the other day and we follow you on social media and you're so much prettier in real life. On Instagram, you're not so pretty.
Who said that?
Amy.
Amy. Oh, and she means it so well.
So well. You know, I mean, I was thinking about it afterwards. I'm like, that makes me pretty happy because then I'm not trying to project a fake picture of myself somehow.
Right. I mean, much worse to have it the other way around. To be prettier online than you are in person. Like, that's horrible. Then it's like, okay, real.
Yeah.
But then it's also, we put so much weight behind this. And I don't know if it is like living on an island. Maybe I also live in the bubble of my own. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it's also who you surround yourself with. So if you surround yourself with people who talk about aging all the time, who talk about wrinkles, who talk about, I don't want to get older. Oh, I look horrible. Or then you start to also feel that way, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know. I don't have any people in my life at all. I don't among close people who talk like that or who...
No.
Who do not hating on anybody who wants to get Botox. Like, I know so many people do. And if that feels good and aligned with you, great. Like, go for it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So don't start because then I'm going to start too.
Then you don't start.
Okay. You influence me so, so much. Okay. With your perfect skin.
We'll see when I start having time to think about how horrible all my wrinkles and my hair is and everything. Then I'll let you know.
You took a photo of me the other day. What was it? I had an acupuncture thing in my ear.
Yeah,
you took a photo of me and I looked at it later and I'm like, wait, I have that many gray hairs. It's like my whole side of my head is white and I don't see that in the mirror. And I was
pretty.
Like, whoa. Yeah, and I don't want to start the process of like dyeing your hair, because then you have to do that all the time. I don't have time for that. Mm-mm. Like I have, or like if I have
the budget to
5 hours to sit in the chair, like, or you know, I'm gonna want to use those 5 hours to like,
yeah,
go for a run. Oh. Can we talk about running a little bit?
Yeah, you haven't been.
So yesterday,
oh, wait, I was so happy when you passed by the way, with the car, and you were like, go, 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 go. Yeah, you look so good when you're running.
And you, I was like, looked so good, but you don't even know. Leia and I were driving from the beach, and then every time I see anyone run these days, because I found my love for running, and now I didn't run for 2 fucking months. But every time I see someone run, I'm like, oh. And then I saw this girl running, and she looked so good, like just like very confident and elbows. It was like good form. Really? And running pretty fast, because I was driving fast and the person was still, and I'm like, oh, that shirt looks familiar. That looks almost like that shirt that Olivia has. And I'm like, I know that butt. And then I passed you and I was like, go, 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 go.
It really gave me the energy for my last.
For your last lap. Part.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I've always loved running. And you've been
such
like.
Such a good runner.
You've been like, what are you doing?
This sucks. I never understood you.
Mm.
And you would be like, oh, I'm just going for a quick little run and run 7K. That was like a quick little run, especially before. When you lived here.
Yeah.
Before. When you lived here, you would do that in the sun. Mm. And I'm like, this to me feels like a superhuman trait.
Yeah.
So how is running for you now? How is self-care with 2 kids?
Like, not so good. Not there.
You had a run yesterday.
No, I did. Oh. I've become much better. I mean, I've had much more time for it now. Hedda's been particularly attached to me, much more than Hunter was. So, and I've let it happen. So it's a choice I make also to like not try to change it so much, because I feel she needed that. So yeah, the time has been very scarce, but I'm getting much better at it. And running is definitely the first thing I do then. Definitely. It's just so easy as well. You can just like go.
It is like your thing.
Yeah.
Maybe when I started running, I did a podcast on running, and I was trying to identify this longing I've had my whole life to be a runner. Like, where does it come from? What if it's you?
Yeah, maybe. I'd like to think so.
All along, you've influenced me, and I don't even acknowledge it.
No, but really. Yeah. But I hope that would be nice if I influenced you in a positive way like that. I mean, running is like when you get to that nice feeling of freedom when you run, it's so nice.
I miss it. I asked my acupuncturist today. I said, I'm thinking about going for a run. Actually, I was thinking about spin class on Friday. I don't know why. And she was like, absolutely not. Like, you have a lot of heart fire right now and you have to wait for this cough to go away. No, you can do yoga. Permission to do yoga. And I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to yoga with me tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for coming on
the
show. Thank
you for having me. It passed way too fast and I got to run home.
I know, you got to go home to your kid. Every time I have a guest on the show, I like to end just asking for everybody listening, what is something we can do to be of service to you?
Nice.
Right now.
Yeah. For me.
For you.
Oh my God.
For me.
Thought, what can we do for the listeners? And then you like collect answers and then I don't know. For me.
For little old me? What? Mm-hmm. What?
What is something you can do for me? I don't know. Try to be patient with yourselves. I don't know. I'm trying to work on that with me. I'd love it if everyone could do that as well. I think that helps everybody around as well. If you have patience with yourself, you also have patience.
You mean patience with yourself, like in how you grow or how, in what way?
Your the limitations you have in the moment. If you have patience with them, they will go away. And if you have, if you just let yourself not be perfect all the time, and then you will also let other people not be perfect, which is a really good thing. I like love it when people write to me and say like, I love that you are not perfect. And that's a really good compliment. I feel
permission to be human.
Yeah
You give me permission to be human all the time.
You too.
I love you.
I love you.
Thanks for coming to On the Heart Fart.
On the Heart Fart.
See you next time.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and thank you to my best friend Olivia for joining me on the show. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you listen and subscribe to other great episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. You can find all of them on yogagirl.com, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. Don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13 for their production work, and of course, thanks to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.